Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
LaVine with a runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. Also, check out my Bulls postgame show on Hot Mic, the free app. Download Hot Mic today in your app store and choose your broadcasters for your live sporting events. This season, my guys Big Dave and John will be joining me every start of the fourth quarter, all Bulls season long. And we will be doing a live coverage of the fourth quarter of every Bulls game and bringing that into a half-hour postgame show. We're calling it the Stretch Four with the Bulls Outcast. So download that Hot Mic app and you can catch me doing Bulls reaction to every game this season right as it's happening and right after it ends. My co-host is Jordan Malley. You can follow him on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, 331-979-1369. We're going to get to some texts and some emails today. Plenty of people reacting to the Bulls' first game of the 2021 season, which was a dud. It was worse than a dud. It was a stinker. But that's okay. That's why we're all here, to talk about it together. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches again January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Well, hope you all are enjoying your holiday weekend, despite that awful Bulls performance on Tuesday. Let's hope for some, or Wednesday, I should say. Let's hope for some better stuff ahead from the Bulls. So, let's get into some of y'all's thoughts about the Bulls and the start of their season. This comes to us from B in Chicago, who said, "I thought the most underrated issue this team has had since 2016 is the end of the bench roster. Like game one, when the Bulls are down, 1 to 3 guys, the talent and the player pool to choose from is the stankiest of stank." Wow, crazy. We kind of are thinking along the same wavelength there to describe game one. I was shocked AK didn't get a little bit more creative instead of just adding Garrett Temple and a two-way rookie. But understandable, since AK has inherited some awful guaranteed contracts given out by our old friends Gar Pax. We joke about Felicio a lot, but his contract truly affected the Bulls' maneuverability through these last few seasons. His contract cost jobs, literally. If it continues like this, I think to save the improvement of the young guys from a disastrous season, possibly turning these players into positive assets, we've got to eat Luke Kornet's money right away. I see what you did there. We can't have two unplayable guys on this roster. There's too much talent in the league now. Just bring in a hired gun to at least be a playable body and to help when someone from the core goes down. This isn't really a reaction to game one in particular, just something that's been hurting this team for years when starters don't show up. Thanks. Keep up the grind this season. Thanks for checking in, B. Okay, I absolutely agree that you have a valid point. The back end of this Bulls roster has been doo-doo for the last several years. Obviously, the Bulls were hurting in their season debut without the availability of some people in that rotation that you expect to be there. Thad Young dealing with the lower leg infection. Satoransky, who was based on proximity, a protocol COVID unavailable because of the positive test from the now former Bull part two, Noah Vonleh. And then also still Denzel Valentine dealing with a hamstring. So those are three pieces. And then adding, as our emailer mentioned, Garrett Temple, who is still finishing up his quarantine after he tested positive. This was not a very deep team in their season opener. And yet, Donovan went 10 deep in the first quarter. He used five guys off the bench, and he did so right away. I mean, not all at the same time, but, he went through a 10-man rotation. And instead of those guys, it was Archie getting minutes and Hutch. And, oh, dear God, was that an Adam Makoka sighting? Because, yes, it was. Now, about our emailer B saying, it's not AK's fault. He inherited this mess, but we've got to do something about it. Maybe join in and, see if we could free up a spot by just, buying and waving Luke Kornet. Unplayable, along with Felicio in the unplayable category. Look, I think that there are guys in this NBA that you wouldn't, maybe not unplayable. Let's be honest, if they made it this far, they're pretty good at basketball. But that you're not getting in the rotation. Unless an injury occurs, you're not getting in the rotation. And right now, because of this season and all of its peculiarities with COVID, the fact that these teams, you're allowed to have 15 guys active this season, which in itself is a change. And then you also have these two-way players who, instead of a maximum number of days with the team, it's an increased number, and instead of days, it's games. So it's, for all intents and purposes, a 17-person roster this season, which, is better, but with all of the unknowns about how this non-bubble COVID season is going to happen, you're right. The depth matters. Now, I would say that I would protest slightly when you describe Luke Kornet as unplayable. He's certainly not a world beater. Last season in Jim Boylan's team, he was unplayable, legitimately unplayable, because he's a 7-footer that moves like a tree trunk, and certainly was not capable in that Jim Boylan blitz scheme. As a guy who plays center in a drop coverage scheme, he actually is a somewhat decent rim protector and a guy who is a 7-footer who can stretch the floor if he's knocking down his shots. He couldn't play any rim protection defense last season, and he wasn't knocking down his shots, probably because he wasn't in there a whole lot regularly. So he was virtually unplayable last year. This season, if called upon with the right system, Luke Kornet would be a better version of himself than what we saw last season, and therefore maybe somewhat passable and somewhat playable. Do I think it would be a better option to just buy him out and waive him now to free up an additional roster spot? I don't think it's perhaps a automatic yes, do this yesterday. Seems like our emailer is kind of, puzzled as to why they still have Kornet on the roster. When we're dealing with things like our opening night, when for whatever reason, players X, Y, and Z, who we assumed would be somewhere between 5 and 9 in the rotation, when you're talking about guys like Thad Young, Garrett Temple, Satoransky, are unavailable. It's going to be tricky. But, I wouldn't put Kornet in that same scenario of unplayable like Felicio's unplayable. But Kornet has an easier contract to just buy out and pay him to go away, because it's only like $2 million and change, as opposed to Felicio, who, you know, for one more year is, you know, making close to $8 million. So we'll see. The Bulls may feel at some point throughout the season, depending on things that happen, that they do want that roster spot, and Cornette's gone. I know our emailer said he wasn't just responding to this particular season opener as more so a long-term problem with the overall depth of talent on this roster, to which I would largely just say, yeah, depth has been a problem. And it certainly hurts that this team hasn't been able to stay healthy, because that lack of depth becomes glaringly obvious in some of their more embarrassing performances over the last few years. Thanks for checking in. And again, if you don't want to text us, or you know, have an international number or whatever, instead of hitting up that text line or the voicemail line, you can always send us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Before we get to some text messages, wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners that today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season. It's always one of my favorite parts about the holiday season. There's also college bowl season. Some big matchups on deck, including, of course, the college football playoffs. Number one, Alabama against number four, Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. And then you got number two, Clemson, and number three, Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, among many others. You got Cincy and Georgia playing the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl as the eighth and ninth seeds. And we've got Florida, Oklahoma in the 7-6 matchup in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. You can bet on all of these games, and there's one place that has you covered, and the one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account, and betonline.ag will give you 50% off welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action in the college bowl season that is right on our doorstep. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And if you want a little bit more inside info on some bets to make during the holidays, well, we've got you covered. The holidays are all about giving, so I'm giving you the hot tip that you could earn some extra cash by listening to a new podcast on the Locked On Network. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every single episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today, wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Let's take some text messages from the Bulls faithful. 435 said the Bulls really need energy from a big man in the paint. We seem flat out there tonight. That text from the Bulls Hawks just slaughtering. That was very, very ugly to watch. Yeah, not a whole lot of presence for the Bulls in the paint on their Wednesday night loss. I mean, sometimes you want to see and expect to see that level of energy from Daniel Gafford, the second round pick from last season, who certainly showed flashes his rookie year. He was, out there and, a part of the rotation in their season opener after some mysterious absences in the preseason. But the Bulls just did not look like a team that had any kind of interior presence. Like Zach LaVine made a couple of nice cuts and got to the basket. The Bulls had, as I mentioned in the other episode, a certain glimpse of some two-man game between their bigs. They had some pick and roll action and some lobs with Lowry and Wendell going. Gafford got involved in that a little bit as well. Patrick Williams tried a couple of times to get his presence felt at the rim, but it just wasn't really there compared to everything that Atlanta was able to do. The points in the paint, not as big of an edge as I would have guessed. 50-44 points in the paint edge to Atlanta in that loss. But yeah, the adjective that our texter at 435 used, flat, to describe the big men, I certainly feel like that was true on the defensive end. You know, the Bulls were okay getting some looks on offense, but and Wendell, to his credit, after the game said that he played poorly. He phrased it a little more vulgarly than that, but he took responsibility. And Wendell has got to bring that tone and set that tone on the defensive end. And he really did not, and the Bulls just were not intimidating at all on the defensive end. And that's how you just saw Atlanta get out to that ridiculously efficient start, shooting, you know, 75% from the field damn near in the first quarter. So you're right on the money there. There was just no defensive intensity, and it put the Bulls in a big hole that they absolutely could not climb out of. All right, let's get to another text. The 312 says, wow, Wendell looks like the worst center in the league. Kobe looks like the worst point guard in the league. I figured the Bulls would struggle a bit with the length and athleticism that the Hawks have defensively, but damn, the Hawks have taken the Bulls completely out of whatever they wanted to do. Atlanta has 74 points with 3 minutes to go in the first half. Permission to board the tank another time. Man, this is going to be so much fun. I miss reading texts from you guys that come during Bulls games. Obviously, there are some pretty funny ones, especially on nights when things are not going the Bulls' way. Man, yeah, the Bulls ended up surrendering 83 points in that first half against Atlanta. I talked a little bit about Wendell and Kobe's struggles in my episode breaking down this game. They were the two most worrisome parts about that game. They both looked like guys who were not ready. Not ready for the moment if you're Kobe White. Maybe a little bit too much pressure. Maybe he, you know, psyched himself up and psyched himself out with all of the expectation and hype about, all right, kid, you're in the starting lineup now. And Wendell, man, I don't know what is going on. Maybe he's just not good. You know, he's, you know, we were just talking, our other texts are saying that the Bulls didn't set any kind of tone defensively. That's got to be Wendell's job. He did not do that. On top of which, he continues to show a lack of competence, and certainly on top of that, maybe a lack of confidence on the offensive end. And Donovan's asking him to do more. Wendell did, you know, launch a three a couple of times like he had been in preseason. Donovan continues to tell the media, I want Wendell taking those open looks. You know, we got to get there. I can't pull the rug out from under him this quickly. You know, it wouldn't be the right move. We're going to try and build this out for Wendell and his offense, but it just looked like the same bad Wendell, who, by the way, also has some issues catching basketballs. His hands, man. It, to me, that is the most frustrating part. You're undersized. You can't space the floor. Could you at least catch the ball cleanly as a big in a pick and roll situation? A big establishing post position. Could you catch the ball maybe? So, yeah. I mean, that is a big concern. I'm less concerned about Kobe. I think we all know that Kobe might be more of a shooting guard than a point guard. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he shouldn't be starting, but we're going to have nights like that where Kobe has a bad night shooting and despite his 7 assists, doesn't actually look like a guy who can lead an offense in that floor general kind of way. It's there going to be some definite growing pains there. But we still know about that raw talent that Kobe has. And to me, that's why if there's one player between these two that our texts are talking about, Wendell is the much bigger concern right now. And maybe that means that Wendell is a piece that's not going to be here long term. Whereas, you know, the Bulls, despite him not being a true quote-unquote point guard, seem to really be high on Kobe White. So we'll see how that shakes out. But yes, they both had bad first games of this new season. I am much more concerned about Wendell's than I am Kobe's. Thanks for checking in. All right, let's take another text message. This one comes to us from JW in New York, who said, hey guys, love the show. You rock. Thank you. You rock. Thanks for texting us. JW asks, Lowry Markkanen for Lonzo Ball at the deadline. Who says no? Probably the Pelicans? I guess it depends. And also, are you asking us if we would do that trade? Or if you are you saying, you know, who says no between the Bulls and the Pelicans? Because to me, that will largely depend on what Lowry Markkanen looks like the first half of this season. I mean, I think we, for the most part, know what Lonzo Ball is. I think certainly he has shown himself to be what he is more continuously than Lowry has. Yeah, Lonzo has had some ups and downs through his young NBA career, but I still think he's a more known, you know, commodity than Lowry right now. I personally am leaning towards saying no on this, and you probably think I'm crazy. Lonzo, you know, a very gifted passer and playmaker, a guy who certainly projects to have a long NBA career and being a useful player, if not a star. It's one game, but I liked what I saw from Lowry against Atlanta. It was one of the few bright spots, and it's just one game, but I am looking forward to watching this season to see what Lowry does. And then when we get to that deadline, or as we approach it, maybe I will start considering the reality of, you know, Lowry is going to be a restricted free agent next offseason. Is it in the Bulls' best interest, especially with this young stud Patrick Williams that we now have as a starter, by the way, at the same position at Lowry at times? You know, yes, he's versatile. You could play him at the three as he is right now in this starting lineup in place of Otto Porter Jr., but you're also probably looking at Patrick Williams playing a fair amount of four in his NBA career. Do you take those factors and say, let's see what we can get for Lowry at the deadline, because maybe there's some team out there who wants to turn him into their project? I'd be surprised. Everything that we've heard from AK, from Eversley, from Donovan is, yeah, we didn't get a deal done before the extension deadline, but I didn't expect them to, but they like this kid. They believe in Lowry. They see his talent. They see his potential. They believe they can get it out of him. They can get the best out of him. So, who says no to that deal? I think right now, everybody, because nobody knows what Lowry is. And right now, the Pelicans say no because they would believe that Lonzo is better than Lowry. Maybe the Bulls say no because they see the potential in Lowry and think that he has a higher ceiling than Lonzo. And right now, I say no because I am still in love with Lowry and refuse to give up on him. But this is the year, as I said, breaking down their loss to Atlanta and the fact that Lowry was a bright spot. This is it. No more excuses. You are in a prove it year because you didn't get your rookie extension because you didn't deserve it. Unless you were willing to take a ridiculous lowball that the Bulls said, this is what we think you're worth right now, without insulting him. And clearly Lowry and his representation did not see what the Bulls were offering as a fair offer. So it's prove it time. But I want to see this prove it year from Lowry. Want to see it more than just about anything. Thanks for checking in. All right, we'll take a couple more texts before we get out of here for the day. Before we do that, though, want to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners that today's episode is brought to you by Built Go. From the people that brought you those delicious protein bars, the Built Bars, you now have the great protein gel with Built Go. Break through your wall, whether it's mental or physical. Break through that wall every day with Built Go. This protein gel comes in easy 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or just put one in your pocket to get through the rest of your day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And this protein gel comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com right now and use promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com for 20% off. Let's go. Okay, this text comes to us from the 773. Yo, fellas, Rich from Calumet City. Rumor has it the Bulls offered to extend Lowry at $11 million per, and Lowry and his agent were looking at $20. Do you think not coming to terms is nothing, something, or everything? And could this actually be a positive for the Bulls in the event Lowry plays like a Finn possessed and his play could help catapult the Bulls into the playoffs? It'll be great to hear your opinion on this. Keep up the great work. Thanks for checking in, Rich. To answer your question, nothing, something, or everything? Honestly, I think it's something in that, exactly to your point, it is a motivator for Lowry this year. He is playing in a contract prove-it year. It's not everything that they couldn't come to terms, because I think it wasn't realistic to expect them to come to terms. Like you said, the gap that needed to be bridged was pretty far apart. Because that's what I heard too, is that the Bulls were offering something like 10 or 11, and Lowry and his reps were looking for something closer to 20. Because you were looking around at some of the other players getting extensions this summer, or this fall, and thinking, wow, well, like, if that guy got that, what's Lowry going to cost? But I see it as a good thing, like Rich does. Motivating Lowry to say, hey, you want that kind of money in the NBA? You got to earn it. At one point, Otto Porter Jr. earned that ridiculous contract that he is now on. In the eyes of certain people, Cristiano Felicio earned that four-year 32 that he is still on. Lowry did not earn $20 million annual salary through the first 3 years of his NBA career. He just flat out didn't. And so I was not at all surprised to see a lack of extension by that 21st deadline. And I think it could be a good thing for him and the Bulls to say, time to go out and prove it, young son. As for the other silver lining that Rich suggested of potentially helping the Bulls, vault towards a playoff spot with Lowry's improved play in a prove-it year, that's where I'm saying pump the brakes. I mean, if Lowry plays so well that the Bulls are in the playoff picture, I will say great. But I don't think, a Lowry season that's better than last year and shows us signs of promise and maybe shows us that he is worth keeping around and that hopefully they find some kind of deal when he is a restricted free agent a year from now. You saw this team in their season opener against Atlanta. They're going to have nights like that, just like they did last season. Stars win in this league. Talent wins in this league. The young Bulls don't have all that much. So, I'm not saying that after one game of watching this team, I'm eliminating the Bulls from playoff contention, but I'm saying they got to get a lot of stuff right. They got to improve a lot over the course of the year. And if they are in that playoff hunt, it's going to be for that 10th play-in spot and not a locked spot. And that's okay. At least in my opinion, that's okay. But yes, I am. It is something that the Bulls and Lowry didn't come to terms, but it's not everything. And it's honestly what I expected to happen. And hopefully it's a good thing for him and for the team. Thanks for checking in. Let's wrap up with this. The 404 says, decade of the Patricks, Mahomes, and Williams. 100%. Similar demeanors, similar draft story, same first name. NBA needs its dominating Patrick All-Star, and we got him. Simple, magical thinking. I mean, logic. Hadn't thought about that as the overlooked asset in a draft class where everybody was talking about everybody else. In that same sense, I mean, Mahomes did not go 4 overall the way Patrick Williams did, and he went behind a bunch of other quarterbacks and turned out to be the best one in that class. Some might say Deshaun Watson, but I think that certainly a lot fewer people would say Deshaun Watson than Patrick Mahomes ended up being the best QB in that class. And then, of course, there are the Bears with Mitch. But I think it's possible that the Bulls ended up finding the best player in that 2020 draft class that everybody said was weak. I'm not guaranteeing that. And who knows what we'll see from the careers of Wiseman, from Edwards, from LaMelo, Obi Toppin, some other names that were impressive in their preseason games, like Isaac Okoro looks pretty darn good. We'll see what Halliburton does. But I think it's entirely possible that Patrick Williams is the best player in this draft class. And I also believe it's entirely possible that he turns into a star. And I mean several all-star teams, all defensive nods, all NBA nods, star. He's 19, and he already looks like he belongs in the NBA more so than other players. By a lot. So, the decade of the Patricks? Sure. If Patrick Williams turns into the Bulls' version of a pleasant surprise Patrick Mahomes, holy shit, that's not just a pleasant surprise. That is, we hit the lottery. And not just the NBA draft lottery. But the Bulls moved up to 4, and they got a player of that caliber. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, they just inked that dude to a lifetime contract to play football in a Chiefs jersey and a Chiefs helmet for the rest of his days, basically. And I would love it if the Bulls are giving Patrick Williams a supermax extension in a certain amount of time. That would be excellent. What a great Christmas gift that would end up being. Speaking of which, that's it. We're out of here. I'm going to go hang out with my family. Enjoy the Christmas holiday, everybody. Jordan and I will be back to wrap up the Bulls back-to-back over the weekend with a fresh dose of episodes next week to bring you from the Christmas holiday into the New Year's holiday. Hope everybody out there is staying safe and enjoying families responsibly if you can. And have plenty of things to be thankful for in what has been a pretty tough year for everybody. So stay safe and try to enjoy these last moments of 2020. And at least we have Bulls basketball back on our calendars after such a long time without it. And they won't all be as bad as that Atlanta Hawks game. So there's always something to look forward to. Thanks again to our sponsors on today's show, Blue Nile, BetOnline.ag, and of course, BuiltGo. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peckzane, thanks so much for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great day. Have a great holiday. We'll talk soon. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.